Welcome to Coatesville Connection, bringing you interesting interviews and homilies from clerical and religious leaders in the city of Coatesville. Each month, Holy Spirit Radio highlights a unique aspect of the city and its people of faith. And now, here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Welcome to Coatesville Connection. We are speaking with Father Antonio from St. Joseph's Parish in Coatesville. Father is a member of the Franciscans of Mary. It's a group founded in Madrid in 1988, and it has as its charism a school of gratitude, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, the spirituality of gratitude toward God. Welcome, Father.
Thank you very much. It is a pleasure to be here once again.
Let's start with a prayer before we begin our lesson.
Of course. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Father, we talked last week, just sort of an introduction about how we love God really through kind of impure motives, you could say, that out of fear or desiring to get something from him.
Yeah, we saw an evolution in our response to God's initiative. An evolution.
A pedagogy, you said. A pedagogy in how he brought from the Old Testament up to Christ. He was revealing himself slowly in the way he wanted to.
Exactly. And each time God revealed himself to men, man gave a response, a concrete response. And this response, we call it faith. Right. And that's how the Catechism of the Catholic Church calls the response man gives to God. It says, by his revelation, the invisible God from the fullness of his love addresses men as his friends and moves among them in order to invite and receive them into his own company. The adequate response to this invitation is faith. But then this faith is lively. This faith translates into a specific behavior, a specific way of living. And we saw how this response accomplished with the covenant at Horeb with Moses. And we saw that this response had a ethical aspect. Before God's initiative, before God's salvation, I have to fulfill some commandments, some laws, in order to be faithful to that pact, to that trade we had with God at Horeb with Moses. So I said that this was important because we cannot understand gratitude if we don't do this history of spirituality or response to God's initiative. Mm-hmm. I said that gratitude is a response too, is an answer to something concrete. And that's why I had to go back to the beginnings and start this journey, a very brief journey, but I hope it helped to understand a little bit the motivations or the responses that man gave to God. Now, of course, as we said, this is a pedagogy. God was preparing us to the plenitude of revelation. Okay, and here
the fullness of revelation,
yeah, of course.
Either one.
And so, what happens with Christ? What happens with Christ? God reveals himself, the Father reveals himself totally in his Son. So if we want to know deeply who the Father is, we must look at the Son. Jesus says, if you see me, you will see the Father. I am the image of the Father. I am not the Father. I am the image of the Father. So what we discover or what we find in Jesus Christ is the expression of God's love, the fullness of His love. First, we have to see God's initiative in Christ. In order to understand the response that man has to give, we have to look at the initiative. God the Father sent His Son out of love for you, out of love for me, to save us, to redeem us. And we see that in order to know the Father, in order to know the Holy Trinity, we must know Jesus Christ. This way of knowledge is more easy for us because God became man. We can touch Him, we can listen to Him, we can embrace Him. So it's an extraordinary way to know God. When we say that God became man for you, and that He became weak for you, and that He preached for you to give you light, and then He died for you, everything is an expression of His love. Look at how much God loves you. You are valuable. He cares for you. This extraordinary expression of His love implies an extraordinary response from man. I want to insist in this initiative, because if we don't understand this expression of His love, we cannot understand gratitude. The Son of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, becomes man. He becomes one of us, shares our sufferings, and dies on a cross, pouring out His blood for you, for me, for our salvation. And here is a sight that we all have heard before many times. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Now, Jesus comes, and He comes to establish a new covenant. Here comes another pact, another trade, but a different trade. And this new covenant was prepared by God during the history of the people of Israel. Look at what Jeremiah says. I would like you to read it for me. Yeah, this part.
See, days are coming, oracle of the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke my covenant, though I was their master, oracle of the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, oracle of the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
So here we see that God wants to do a new covenant because the old covenant didn't work. At all. Didn't work at all. It was a trade based on selfishness. And that trade couldn't change man's heart. And this new covenant is going to change our hearts. It's going to engrave in our hearts God's commandments. And we're going to be able to love Him as He deserves to be loved. How God is going to do this? He's going to show His love for us in Jesus Christ. Looking at this issue, looking at this event, we kneel and we say, thank you. I don't deserve this. Because this love is going to break the rock of our hearts. And it's going to make it anew. And it's going to make it flesh.
Father, is that why the image sometimes of the crucified Christ is so important to so many people?
Exactly. The more we meditate on the cross, on the Lord's passion, the more we fall in love with Christ. Mm. So let's see what the letter to the Hebrews says.
For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of a heifer's ashes can sanctify those who are defiled so that their flesh is cleansed, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works to worship the living God? For this reason, he is mediator of a new covenant. Since a death has taken place for deliverance from transgressions under the first covenant, those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9:13-15.
So we see that Jesus is the one who's going to establish this new covenant with his blood, mm-hmm. through his blood, through his passion. Okay. Very important to understand this part. Mm-hmm. Jesus loves you. And you cannot imagine how he loves you. Mm-hmm. You're important for him. And he became man for you. And this act of love is going to transform our hearts into a new heart. Mm-hmm. A heart that is able to love. A heart that is not going to say, I want you because I want to get something from you. Before such manifestation of love, I have to love. Here comes gratitude. The response to this love has to be gratitude. It cannot be interest. It cannot be fear. Before such love, how can you be afraid of God? Before such love, how can you say, I want to approach you, I want to get close to you because I want to get something from you? Before such love, you cannot say this. You cannot have this attitude toward God. So the specific response, Christian response, and this is a novelty in the history of spirituality, the specific response of a Catholic, of any Christian, has to be gratitude. Because gratitude is the purest expression of love. When you are grateful, you're not looking for something else. You just want to love. You just want to say thank you, and that's it. What do we have to do before Jesus Christ? Be grateful.
Yeah.
Of course, he was grateful to his Father.
Yes.
And we have to learn from that. He's our model. He's the image.
Right, right.
Not only from the Father, but also of human men, of human being.
In the image of perfect love, really, because it's not selfish.
It is not selfish.
Right.
So we're looking at the response that man, we have to give to Christ, mm-hmm. to the Holy Trinity, because the whole Holy Trinity revealed in Christ. So the first thing that gratitude tells us is, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve that the Almighty became man for me. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve it. I'm a sinner. And this has to give us more humility before God. Without humility, we cannot be grateful. Mm-hmm. This is the first thing we should know about gratitude. Gratitude is the specific Christian response to God's initiative. It is faith. The Catholic Church says the response to God is faith. But this faith has to be expressed in a novelty way. And this expression is love. And gratitude is the expression of love. It's an expression of love. The purest expression of love.
And humility is the key to that.
And the humility is the key. If I'm not humble, if I don't recognize that I don't deserve this, I cannot be grateful.
Yeah. truly
impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So it gives us a lesson of humility. Mm-hmm. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. And I'm gonna talk about this a little bit later, mm-hmm. to understand more the power of gratitude, what humility does in us. So the gratitude cancels in us our pride. Because I think that we live in a society in which we think that everything is all right. Mm-hmm. It cancels our pride. You don't deserve it. For example, you don't deserve to receive Holy Communion, even if you are in grace, even if you're in a state of grace, even if you have gone to confession before. It is a gift. It is not a right. Gratitude introduces in us this logic. You don't deserve it. For example, in Germany, the bishops are trying to give communion to the Lutheran party of a marriage because they want to receive communion. They really want to receive the body and blood of Christ. Okay. But what are the conditions? First, is that a right for you to have communion? No. No, it is not. That bread, that wine, which are the body and blood of Christ, is God, is a person who has rights. What are the conditions you have to fulfill in order to receive communion? To believe in that, and to accept the whole doctrine of the Catholic Church, and that will imply confession. That will imply a change in your way of thinking, and that will imply conversion. Mm-hmm. The problem is that we think that it is a right. I desire this, I wish this, but we confuse the concept of desire with the concept of right. Just an example. I wish it, it is my right. Okay, before such love, I say thank you, I don't deserve it. And this, as I said, cancels our pride. Mm. Our way, our thinking that because I want it, I have the right to have it. This is typical in our society, typical in an adolescent. Then this next step is, before such love, I have to love. I must love. I cannot say to love God is optional. Gratitude impels you to love God and to view your love toward God as a duty, not as something optional. Before the incarnation of the Lord, I say I must love the Lord that loved me. And this concept, gratitude, is linked to the concept of justice. Mm-hmm. It is an act of love to give love back to God. And for us, to love God has to be a motive of joy. I love you, and I feel joyful loving you. This is gratitude. Mm-hmm. A duty, of course. I have to because I need to love God. I'm joyful doing it. That's why it's important to understand the response. I want to love you. I cannot stay there doing anything, nothing. I need to love that God that became man for me, and that died for me, and that rose for me. Before such love, I want to love. I want to love.
So this requires you to be really having a good sense of who Christ is. You can't do that without a sense of Him.
Exactly. Formation is very important. I think that one of the causes of our the crisis of faith we're passing through is due to our lack of formation.
Because many people see Jesus as a good man, a philosopher,
exactly,
a teacher.
Well, and here comes another important topic.
Yeah. Huh?
So that's why the first thing we should say first to a Catholic and then to others: look how God has loved you. Mm. Look at this. And you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. And this, at least for me, this makes me cry. Mm. Whenever I start meditating on His love, on what He has done for me and on what He's doing for me right now, it just makes me cry out of love, out of joy to Him. And I think that this was the message that the apostles were spreading throughout all the region, the Roman Empire. And you know what? We Catholics, we don't understand yet this extraordinary event. This event, any other religion has this. A Jew will never say that God has become man. Never. A Muslim will never say the same thing. That's why the novelty of revelation in Christ implies a novelty in our response once again. Mm. So then it is an act of justice to be grateful, because if someone has done something for me, I should do something for that person. That is an act of justice. Mm-hmm. And I am unjust if I don't love God. This is the idea, the way of thinking each one of us as Catholics should have.
And putting it in human terms, it's almost as if you're walking across the street and you're going to get struck by a car and someone jumps out and lifts you out of the way. What would your response be?
Thank you. And I owe you something.
Yes.
I owe you,
you
something.
You wouldn't just walk away.
You won't say, hey, that was your duty to save me. You'll feel so grateful that one day you should, I don't know, maybe you would invite him dinner or, I don't know, something. You will do something.
We could take it to another level too and say that the person pushes you out of the way and they themselves die.
Imagine.
Yes.
Imagine.
Yes.
That will be just... that will strike your heart.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus does.
Yes.
The new covenant He is establishing is based on striking our hearts with His love. Mm. And this is the way we're going to love Him.
And we have to experience that Savior.
If we don't, I can say all of this and it will not make any effect on us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is very, very important. So then gratitude, as I said in the first program, it is not only to say thank you and that's it. That's like the top of the iceberg, I said. Gratitude has to lead you to works of love. Gratitude without love, it is not gratitude. Mm-hmm. And what has to be behind our works of love is that I have contracted an infinite debt of love toward God that I must pay. Mm-hmm. Because love is paid with love. I do this. I must do something to show you my love. Because as St. James says in his letter, your faith without deeds, without works, is dead. Your gratitude has to impel you to love concretely through your works. And then gratitude is a motivation. It is the driving force in all we do. I do this for you, Jesus. For you, God. I have to forgive. I do it for you. I have to pray. I do it for you. I have to fulfill my duties at my job. I do it for you. I fulfill my obligations at home. Because you deserve it. This is the way I can show my gratitude to you. Fulfilling my duties at home, at my job, with my family, praying. If you ask me to help this person, I'll do it out of love for you, out of gratitude for you. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes we move ourselves with our feelings. I feel like doing it, then I do it. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like doing it, then I don't do it. Mm-hmm. Gratitude, even if you don't feel like doing it, gratitude impels you to do it. It moves you out from yourself and puts you to love. Mm-hmm. Because I repeat, what has to be there in everything we do is a habit of love toward God.
And we'll have to leave it right there, Father, because we are fast approaching the end of the show. Again, we've been speaking with Father Antonio from St. Joseph's Parish in Coatesville, speaking about this idea of gratitude, our response to a God who has given everything for us. And we'll be discussing this again next month on Coatesville Connection. Thank you for being with us, Father.